Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is 90.9 WBUR. Good morning, I'm Bob Oakes. The long and winding corruption trial of the state's former probation chief lurches back into action this morning. Federal prosecutors are trying to prove former probation commissioner John O'Brien and two of his top deputies illegally rigged hiring to curry favor with state lawmakers and win increases in the probation department budget. But as WBUR's David Boeri tells us, there's growing tension between the federal judge and the prosecutors about how long this trial is taking.
We've had 26 days of testimony. The government's taken up far more time than it said it needed. The judge is angry now. He says that's too long. So he's imposed a time limit. He's budgeting their time, saying he's concerned. The jury is getting fatigued. And talk about the jury. Two of the jurors, the sitting jurors, have been dismissed, so we're down to two alternates left. That's all before the defense calls its witnesses.
So talk about the testimony. Who have we heard from so far? And as I ask the question, we're mindful of the fact that the prosecution is still presenting its case.
That's right. The witnesses the prosecutors have put on the stand include the regional administrators and the chief probation officers for the probation department. What I found stunning is that the government says 34 of its witnesses are unindicted co-conspirators. That means
34.
They're not charged, but they're part of a conspiracy. And a number of them have been granted immunity in exchange for their testimony. But the gist of the testimony here is that O'Brien chose who was going to get the job before the interview process ever began, and that he and his aides put the word out to their people who they wanted to make it through that first round and who they wanted to get the job. But meanwhile, the defense has used cross-examination to try to show that the sponsored candidates were qualified and that they performed well. And that at its worst, this was old-fashioned patronage.
And the federal judge in this case has said many times to the jury and to the courtroom that patronage itself is not a crime.
That's right. He says that, and he also says that if they violated the procedures and the policies of the manual for hiring, that might be grounds for firing, but that, too, is not criminal.
So the case isn't exactly going to plan for the prosecution. Plenty of problems keep bubbling up.
Yeah, you have the judge, Judge William Young, has expressed skepticism about some of the charges and the evidence, and he actually told the prosecutors out of range of the jury that from what he's seen so far, they haven't shown any evidence to prove their case against Brian's two co-defendants. And the judge is insisting this is a mail fraud trial, while the government prosecutor, Fred Wyshak, said, no, it's a racketeering trial. The federal government here is using this wide-reaching power of federal RICO statutes to prosecute this case. That's what they've used against mafia dons, against James Whitey Bulger and drug kingpins. What's conspicuously missing from the trial, Bob, is the other side of this quid pro quo. Prosecutors claim that the hires were being done to win favor from Senate and House leaders, but they haven't been calling any of the leaders.
All right, so given that look ahead, who do we expect to hear from before the trial finishes, and when does this thing come to an end?
Well, the judge has announced that he wants it over by July 18th. Hard to see he gets there. He's only allotted 3 days for the defense to put on its witnesses.
Is there a possibility that after the government rests its case, the judge will look at the prosecution and say, I'm sorry, you didn't prove your case? Is there a possibility this case could be dismissed by the judge before the defense even presents?
There are questions. The defense has already moved for mistrials. The judge will consider them after the government presents its case. There's also what's called a Rule 29 motion that the defense will seek to have a verdict declared of not proven. That might go forward. With all cases in federal court, you always end with the advisory. There's a reason they call it the House of Pain. And the House of Pain, it's called because the number of not proven and not guilty verdicts is incredibly small over there.
WBUR senior reporter David Boeri, thanks a lot for coming in and explaining all this to us. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.